Hi, everyone. I'm Lena Shavendar. I am a physiatrist and co-director of physician wellness here at Dooley. And today I'm chatting with Dr. Christina Braddis, who is a hospitalist here at Dooley and also president of our board. Hey, Christina, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you, Lena?
I'm great. Today we're talking about how people process and adapt to change. And I think given the climate we're in and we have a brand new CEO, it's a super relevant topic for us to think about. When I think about what has been going on at Dooley over the last couple of years, we've had a couple of CEOs and we've had changes all around us. And for you, you've also had to deal with changes as a hospitalist during the COVID pandemic, and you've had your own personal changes in your roles at Dooley as new president of the board. Tell me a little bit about how you're thinking about and experiencing change.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we have, as an organization, gone through a lot of change over the years, and more broadly, as every healthcare organization has experienced with the pandemic, we've all had to change a lot and adapt quickly to essentially the unknown. COVID was an unknown, and every time a new leader comes into an organization, they're unknown, and so the future becomes unknown. So all of these things can trigger a lot of responses from people, some positive, some negative, and some neutral. And you're right, for myself, I did go through quite a few changes recently in my own career. First, as a hospitalist, when the pandemic hit, I was rounding at Good Sam, and I get this phone call from Paul Merrick, and he's like, hey, the city is setting up a COVID hospital unit thing downtown. How do you feel about running it? And I was like, what? And so, you know, that like brought up a lot of just, okay, one day I'm here in the hospital doing, it's already been different because COVID is shifting my practice pattern and everybody's practice pattern. And now suddenly I'm going to be showing up at McCormick Place every day and doing something that's completely unfamiliar to me. And then there was a lot of obviously kind of excitement, but fear of what other people's expectations are going to be and can I do it? Will I succeed? And then all of the unknown of what am I even getting into? And then, you know, after COVID ended, or not ended, but the pandemic moved along, then we had the shift in the board last year, and I became the new board president, which was a huge honor. And I was excited and up for it. And also, again, you know, there's always fears of the unknown. Like, what are other people's expectations of me? Am I going to have to do a lot of public speaking because it's really not my favorite thing in the world? What's that going to be like? So I think it's sort of always this balance of optimism and maybe managing worry or concern or fear or however you want to put that.
Absolutely. And when I think about even my experience with COVID, I had a similar, you know, all of us did in healthcare, a total change. And for me, it was the inverted change because I'm an outpatient physiatrist, you know, dealing with back and joint pain. And all of a sudden, we're not taking care of that so much anymore. And it was a quick move to telemedicine visits and figuring out, okay, well, what can I do to help support people in this time? And I got on the phone and started looking with people I knew who were overseas and finding masks and things like that. And so it really was a shift that we, I think, all were thrust into. And then with our changes in leadership here at Dooley, what you talked about around the fears is like super normal. And when you look at data around organizational change and organizational movements and what happens both personally and in people's professional lives, we know that there's just these common feelings of wanting to resist change. And I think that's really that fight or flight response that all people have is, oh my gosh, is there instability here? And am I going to be safe? And so that brings up immediately fears and that puts us into this place of resistance. Some of the most common resistance to change comes from different fears. And one of the biggest ones that Brené Brown talks about in her shame research is fear of irrelevance. Am I no longer going to be needed? Am I relevant to this organization anymore? And I think when, as regular workers, we see change at the highest levels, we worry about those things. And I think that's pretty natural. Am I safe here, right? Is there instability? Is my organization stable? And am I stable? And I think that when those fears come up, it's a pretty, you know, it's okay. Like, we can recognize that and say, yeah, this is something that I feel, and it is normal to feel that way. And also to recognize that change is inevitable, so that it's something that we are always going to have to deal with. It can be good and it can be bad. It's really more of like a neutral thing, and we give it whatever meaning it might have.
That's exactly right. I think that's a huge part of it. We can kind of drive the positivity or negativity of it to some degree, at least.
Absolutely. And I think as an organization, we have to really think about how do we create a place of psychological safety so people can feel, they're not going to feel so worried about, oh my goodness, now there's a new leader ahead of me or above me. Are they going to uncover my weaknesses? Am I not going to feel safe saying, hey, I need help with this? And so when we can say, look, we know that this change is here and it's maybe necessary and good on one level, that can feel scary for people. And also as leaders, we can say, look, this is something that is expected and we know that you're going to feel worried and that is okay. And if you need help, we're here for you to support you through that change while we navigate the space.
Yeah. And I think as an organization, there are changes happening all the time on a small scale. And then ever so often, there's these larger scale changes that sort of maybe magnify apprehensions of change. But I think one of the positive ways to look at it is kind of, I think along the lines of what you're saying, is that change is also an opportunity for growth. Because without it, you're essentially just stagnating. And stagnation is, it's a breeding ground for boredom and eventually like a downward trend, you know, where instead of just being like neutral, going along at the same pace, the world around us is changing all the time. And it's kind of imperative that we stay flexible and adaptable so that we can grow in it. And when there isn't change happening, you just sort of become neutral. And then, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of possibility in change and positive possibility. And even though change can be scary, I feel like at least when I look at the changes from my own personal life or in my career, even if there's some negative aspect to that change, because certainly not all change is positive, but there's usually something positive that comes out of it. In some way, I can identify a way in which I grew or I learned something or developed a new skill or something like that, met some new people, made some new connections. There's always kind of something positive to be had. And so I try to kind of focus on those things, at least on for myself. I find that helpful to get through change, is to focus on the positive things that can come out of it.
For sure. And Christina, as you've gone through these changes, what do you find to be the keys to adapting to change?
I think a big part of it is recognizing the inevitability of change is really important in it, like, prevents me from a tendency of overreacting to change. Because I think like it's natural for people and for myself to fill in the unknown with negative. And so sort of realizing that that's my own conjecture, change is inevitable. I've been through a ton of change and everybody has been through a ton of change in their lives. And certainly it hasn't all gone bad. There's a lot of positivity that's happened with change. And so, you know, saying like, okay, this happens all the time. I've been through change so many times. There's been a lot of positive to come out of change. And then just sort of maintaining perspective on that change, you know, like allow myself to kind of go down the negative thought spiral and play it out. Like, worst case scenario, how bad could this really be? And this doesn't work for everybody. I mean, this is just like sometimes how you think through change is can be a very personal thing. And, it, you know, some people can't go negative because they can't get out of the negative. Other people can't go too positive because they just, I don't know, roll their eyes at it or something. So whatever works for people individually. But for me, I feel like kind of playing out the negative makes me realize that sometimes that even if it goes that bad, there's still a solution. So that helps kind of build a certain level of resilience, knowing that change happens, we all survive. We move on to the next thing if we need to, you know, things shift around us and we adapt. I think it's important to realize that there's an amount of control that I have over things, but there's also a lot of control that I don't have over things. And I need to let that stuff go, because dwelling on it is where I think a lot of the fear can really fester is when I get fixated on the things that are out of my control.
Right, totally. We have to remember that we have our own spheres of influence and we have our own spheres of control. And when we can identify those, that's where we can find the stability within the change that's necessary to continue to be productive. You know, it's interesting. You talked about the negative, like this is the worst case scenario and how do I go there? And something that I find that's also helpful on the flip side is asking myself, how is this working for me? Rather than working against me, like how is this change beneficial to me? For instance, with this, our new CEO, Dan Greenleaf, coming on board, and I've only heard him speak a little bit, but I think, okay, how is this working for us? And he has this military background and he has the ability, to me, what it seems like to really identify core issues within infrastructure and operations that might need fixing. And he sounds to me like a great leader to be there at this point in time. And maybe that's what we need. And it allows me, and those are just my ways of thinking about processing these things, but it allows me to say, okay, well, how is this working in my favor rather than only focusing on how it's stressful. So that is where that's like that balance, right?
Yeah. And not only like, how is this working for me now, but also, you know, as much as it can be helpful for me to kind of play out the negative, like how bad could this really get? And can I survive that? And the answer is always yes, so it'll be okay. To the same degree, I would say, like, how good could this get? Like, what are the immediate positive things that I know currently exist? And then what are the potential future opportunities or positive outcomes that could happen down the line? What if this is the best possible thing and I just can't see it right now? And that sometimes can be reassuring as well, as just like the future is unknown. Why sit in the negative all the time when you can also potentially sit in the positive and maintain a level of optimism?
Whoa, well, that's so good. It just kind of allow us to say that, recognize the reality, which is that we don't know the future. And when we fill in the blank in a negative way, sometimes we almost create that negative outcome. And so if we can think about it as, well, open-ended or neutral at the very least, and then positive on the other side is how can I, then you bring a game, right? It's like, well, how can I contribute to that best case scenario? And where can I build space for us to move in the positive direction? You know, I was going to ask you, Christina, is that in healthcare, our core work is really interesting because it's always the same, right? So we've, as an organization, had number of different leaders, and you've had to be a leader in different spaces. How do you feel that consistency of core work or core meaning, has that given you some comfort or guidance?
Yeah, I think it's been a source of comfort, I would say, just in knowing that no matter how much is going on, say with like the business side of our organization, and it's all business, but you know what I mean when I talk about like the admin side. When we think of that change, it's happening around the core of what you and I do every day, which is take care of patients. And sometimes that can help buffer all the like kind of the swirl and change happening around us, is knowing that tomorrow I'm going to work and there's going to be patients in the hospital and there's going to be family members and my colleagues will be there. And we will continue to do the work that we trained many years in medical school and residency and so on to do. And we have those core skills. That doesn't change. Our ability to relate to other people and to diagnose and treat and provide comfort to others, you know, that's always there. And even if the organization around us is changing, the purpose of this organization does not, which is to take care of patients and to deliver excellent healthcare and an excellent patient experience. It's all always the same. Somehow that purpose sort of helps pull me and hopefully pull everybody through changes, because we still get to do the same thing every day.
It is so true. And I think it's so centering. One blessing of being in healthcare, just fantastic thing about being in healthcare, is that we have that real deep meaning, right? At the end of the day, we're here to help our patients, help them feel better. And whether your job is being a physician or a nurse or medical assistant or a reception or really billing, anything, that's really what we're centered around, is making that patient feel supported in everything that they do.
I was going to ask you about your perspective on purpose and on the core purpose of our careers and how you see it relevant to change.
I agree. I think that, to me, the purpose of what I do is so intimately tied to my patient's existence, right? And so for me, it's not often a matter of life and death because I'm treating people who have back pain or joint pain, but I like to see myself as a sleuth who helps them find their trouble and identify it and then live their best lives despite that. And, you know, I deal with a lot of disability and difficulty, and the fact of the matter is that we all are moving on one road in life. And my purpose in that, in trying to bring the most ease to people. And I think when I cut through all the noise and I can focus on that, and I look at every member of my team as part of that same journey, it just really gives me really clear focus. And I feel lucky to be in a field that feels that way. And, you know, it's not a big stretch to think that you're doing something really good every day. So I think about that with change. That's part of life. Our bodies change, right? We're used to that in healthcare. We see that our hearts when we're young are not like our hearts as we age, and that we just have to get on board and get in. Change is coming, right? It's here. And so just get an emotional, spiritual, physical shape for it and be ready for it and do what you can with that.
I love that. Yeah, that's totally right. We just have to train for it. And I feel like, I mean, there's enough small change that we all encounter on probably a daily basis, if at least not weekly, that we're probably training every day. And maybe there's opportunity there too to kind of think about how we individually respond to change. There's probably patterns that we all exhibit, you know, or that we could identify across different changes that we've experienced. And if you can start to identify those patterns that you have, you can maybe identify some of the more negative patterns that hold you back. It's a good way to kind of think about how you might change your approach to change in the future and kind of shift it to approaches that are more productive, that have come to better outcomes for you in the past. And you can apply those in the future too.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think on that topic, Christina, is that today we're talking about this on the podcast, but I know that both of us feel like if anybody who's listening feels like they want to talk about this any further in the future, we're here. I mean, you and I are here to have any conversation with somebody around this. And as a co-director of physician wellness, I feel really strongly that people should feel welcome to share their worries or their concerns with us. And we're here to help support you and get you feeling better.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, if anybody wants to chat more about, you know, how do you manage change or how do you think we could help people get through change better as an organization, I would definitely be open to talking more and hearing feedback. So yeah, definitely reach out, please.
And we also look forward to bringing a series of podcasts as the year goes on for our physicians and our teams internally. It was great having a conversation with you, Christina.
You too. Thanks, Lena. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for joining us today and listening to this one.
Thanks, everybody.